Good morning. Welcome to Gustavus Adolphus College. I know as we have folks making their way in here, we want to welcome you. Welcome to Christ Chapel. Thank you for being with us here today for the Gustavus Faith Conference. I want to take a moment to say thank you to my colleagues in the chaplain's office who have done so much for the planning of this opening worship service. Thank you to Pastor Siri Erickson and Pastor Brian Conkle, to our choir, our cantor, Dr. Chad Winterfeld, and to Cindy Berg, who makes this whole office work. Can we give them our appreciation at the start of this? I also want to say thank you to the many who help with this worship service. Thank you to our Gustavus Choir, under the direction of Dr. Greg Owney. Thank you to each and every one of them. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you very, very, very much. I have a wonderful treat for you this morning. During worship, President of Wartburg Theological Seminary, my good friend, Reverend Louise Johnson, will be our homilist. We are thrilled, absolutely thrilled to have Louise with us and the opportunity to have her lead us as we center ourselves at the start of this conference. You've noticed in the back that there are tables. Our Association of Congregations network is a vast network of relationships that we all grow from and benefit from having. As we have planned our faith conference this year, we have worked with a couple of mission partners. We're glad to have our friends from Lutheran's Restoring Creation, Dennis Ormseth, and our keynoter, Dr. David Rhodes from Lutheran's Restoring Creation, and our friends from Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light, under our very own Gusty Claire Curran with us, and a number of others. Can we show our appreciation to them for their planning and everything? Thank you for being here. Today you're going to learn more about their great work, and there will be different moments throughout this morning where we will take some breaks, and we invite you to visit their tables. Also in your program, we have, I know that you can't always connect with folks, but we want you to have the good information. So in your program, we have given you some information about Lutheran's Restoring Creation and Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light. And we have this conference is sponsored. Those of you that have been a part of this faith conference know that Thrivent Financial is our partner in making this happen. In fact, the truth is, Gustavus and Thrivent, we work together on a number of things to make happen for our pastors and our congregations. And I just want to thank, I know we're giving a lot of thank yous now, but we have a lot to be thankful for. Thank you, Bonnie Locks, and our team back there, Patty Kelly, for the support of this conference and the number of action teams that Thrivent makes available that you're going to learn more about. Can we give them our appreciation for generous living? Thank you so very much. Finally, I want to thank our president, President Rebecca Bergman, for the leadership that she gives our college and for the vision and commitment that she has for our Gustavus Association of Congregations. Let's welcome her as she brings forward a greeting. Thank you, President Bergman.
Well, good morning. I'm so glad you're here. And whichever one of you is responsible for ordering this beautiful day, I want to extend my sincere gratitude. We are fortunate here on the Hill to have spring having popped over the last week or so, and the beauty of this campus is really starting to show. So thank you for being here. We are so grateful for your attendance, for your commitment to Gustavus, for your willingness to think deeply about the intersection of faith and creation and stewardship of our earth. We at Gustavus hold up that value of community, and it is working in community that we aspire to be good stewards of the environment, of our resources, and to think about how we as a community, wherever we are, can be part of that. And so I'm grateful for all of you to be here today to help us think together about God's creation and how we sustain it going forward. I'm also grateful, as Grady mentioned, for presence of Reverend Louise Johnson this morning, looking forward to her comments. And as I read through her background, sometimes you think, how can all these connections be true? So I also am the daughter of a Lutheran pastor. I happen to live in childhood close to Philadelphia. My dad happens to be a graduate of Philadelphia Seminary. My sister happened to go to Wittenberg. So go figure. And here we are at Gustavus together. So I also am sometimes completely amazed as I meet people and understand the connections that we all have to each other. And that simple phrase that we are all connected is so true. So I invite you also, as you go through your day, to find those connections to each other, because it is in relationship that God teaches us how to relate to our world and to each other and to our God. So have a wonderful day, and thank you again for your presence. And of course, I forgot my last duty. Could we all please rise, face the rear of the sanctuary for the beginning of our worship service?
Blessed be God, creator, savior, and advocate. Amen. We seek life's meaning in the wonder of morning and in the freshness of Easter springtime. Yet still we hope for something more, a break in the ordinary, an infusion of the unexpected, an explosion of glory, a miracle, revealing more than we hope to understand. Today, we celebrate life over death. Christ is risen. The fire is lit, making us aware that the power of resurrection has forever changed who we are and given us the courage to boldly proclaim a living faith. Today, we celebrate new life, new joy, new possibilities. We give thanks for the spirit of life visible in the risen Christ. Visible in us, visible in people in all walks of life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
What an incredible honor to be with you this morning. My thanks to you, Grady, for this gracious invitation. I have been in this chapel many times, often as an admissions person in a seminary, and had the privilege of hearing the choir, so I'm really thrilled to be able to have that privilege again to hear you today and to worship with all of you today and to offer prayers and a word as you go forward in what is a really compelling day that you have in front of you. Thank you. Behind me in worship just a few weeks ago, a toddler was snuggled in his grandmother's arms. "That's what Jesus said," she whispered as the gospel lesson was read. "A little quieter now, honey." She coached him through worship, whispering toddler-friendly interpretations of song, scripture, and lessons. Somewhere in the communion liturgy, I heard her whispering along with the presider. "With earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars." It was language that needed no interpretation for a toddler. And suddenly I could picture it too. The grand chorus of creatures singing praise to God. Birds would circle notes like jazz musicians. There would be caterwauling and screeches and howls, honks and chirps and clicks. Whale tail slaps on water and the ruckus of rain would add a beat. Still the sloth and turtles would be several measures behind, oblivious to time. Tigers would roar, and the movement of butterfly wings and elephant ears would make the wind rustle in the tree leaves. Glaciers would moan, thunder would punctuate the chorus like cymbals. It was not only the human family that sings, but the whole earth sings praise to God. And then suddenly it struck me in a way that it never had before. We are all in this together. Which I think more or less is what Paul is trying to say in this lesson from Romans this morning. He wants us to know the full picture of what it means to be children and heirs. Sisters and brothers, he calls us, because if we are children of the Heavenly Father, then we are drawn into the whole family of God, connected, related to one another and the whole creation. In Christ, my joys become your joys and your suffering becomes mine. And together with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we groan and wait for the redemption that is still to come. In the movie Powder, the main character, also called Powder, is a strange, pale boy with a too gentle spirit and a kind of odd set of powers. In one scene, he is forced to go deer hunting. The town's men want to toughen him up. One of the men shoots a deer, and both man and boy arrive on the scene as the deer is dying. The boy leans down and puts one hand on the deer and the other hand on the man who shot her, creating a link that forces him to understand the suffering the deer undergoes as she dies. With a boy as a conduit, he feels what she feels. The man weeps with both pain and terror as he feels the lifeblood drain out of the deer. That's the kind of connectivity we are privy to by the power of the Holy Spirit, along with all the other rights and privileges that come with being a member of the family of God, comes the burden and blessing of being connected not only to one another, but to the whole creation, even as we rejoice in the beauty around us, and is it beautiful? Even as we sing songs of praise together, we also hunger along with those whose bellies are swollen from malnutrition. We ache for healing on behalf of our gaping and wounded earth. We cry out for God's creatures whose habitats and lives are threatened by garbage and bulldozers and greed. With the earth and all its creatures, we long for and pray for, and indeed groan from the very depths of our thirsty, dry throats for redemption. Please, we beg, let redemption come not to us, not only in morsel and sprinkle and glimpse, but also in the full-on power of your love, which we have known and know and will know again in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us feel it in our bones and feathers and glaciers and in the air around us. Yesterday was Earth Day, and 175 leaders from nations spanning the globe met together. Ms. Ibrahim, a woman from North Africa, told her story. When I left last week, she said, it was 118 degrees Fahrenheit. For us, too hot is not just feeling it in your body and needing sunglasses. For us, it's what will be our survival? How long will the rainy season be? Are we going to get calves? Are we going to get water? That's the worry of the sun for us, she told world leaders. Drought and heat are killing hundreds in silence. Paul makes clear that we are in this together, so that our participation in caring for the earth is not a luxury or a choice, not a liberal agenda to be embraced or dismissed, not a myth to be questioned or denied or proven as children of God. Caring for the earth and all its creatures is a matter of faith, of understanding in the depth of our being that we are all connected, sisters and brothers, one to another and to the earth and all its creatures, so that Ibrahim's plight becomes ours, and ours becomes hers. Now, if you're anything like me, the whole notion that we are so deeply connected to the creation and its creatures is at once glorious and terrifying. Most days, the suffering in my own circle of family and friends threatens to overwhelm me, let alone the burden of suffering a world or a generation away. So Paul reminds us, the suffering that we know now, it's so dwarfed by the glory we will one day know. So dwarfed that it's hardly worth the time or energy even to make the comparison. And so he urges us on in hope, not for what is seen, but he says, hope for what is not yet seen. Hope for the time when every war shall cease, when every tear shall be dried, when a feast will be set for all peoples. Hope for the night's rest where child and snake, lion and lamb lay in sleepy peace. Hope for the restoration of the land, the recovery of endangered species, the end of all war, greed, and malice. For the same Holy Spirit that connects us one to another in suffering connects us also to God, who raised Jesus from the dead and it connects us to that same power of life over death. Let me say that again. It connects us to that same power of life over death. Like the boy with one hand on the deer and one hand on the man, the Holy Spirit holds fast to us and fast to Jesus. One hand on us and one hand on God who raised Jesus from the dead. We are inheritors of the promise of eternal life. And so by this hope, be strengthened. Be strengthened to again be the first fruits of the Spirit, the first signs of the redemption that will come. Be the signs of life that begin now in sips and morsels and sprinkles and gestures of peace. Be the life now that begins for Ibrahim. Be the life now that begins in the care of land and species, the life that begins now in a cup of cold water and the fight for justice. Join in the earth's song of praise to the Creator. Sing along, because, well, we're all in this together.
As noted in our bulletins, now we have an opportunity to give back to God what God has first given us. And as you will see, this has been designated by the Association of Congregations to be divided equally between Lutherans Restoring Creation and Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light. Thank you.
Stand as you are able. Following our closing hymn, I invite you to again be seated to enjoy a musical blessing from our Gustavus Choir. May the stories of this day inspire us in ways that bring us a hope-filled clarity about who we are, what we can do, what it is our lives might be about. And as we walk this dusty path, may we see only the love and passion of those who journey with us and be inspired. Go in peace to love and to serve. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Gustavus Choir. God's blessings to you. Thank you, Pastor Louise, for sharing a wonderful message with us. Now we will take a break here. You have 15 minutes. You will be able to take some time. Please visit our tables. Please do not leave the building, though. We are watching you. There are restrooms in the lower level, and we'll convene back here for our first presentation. Thanks again for being here. God bless you all.